Welcome to another edition of Soundography, Crash Course in Music, one band at a time. I'm Brian Ibbett.
And I am Hammond Chamberlain.
And today we go to New York. We go to the land of skyscrapers and CBGBs and grit and dirt and grime in the streets and in the clubs and the 70s and 80s. Wow, I'm really laying it on thick, aren't I?
Yeah, it's like you're walking down 42nd Street.
And seven or eight guys who all share the same last name, but not really.
That's right. We're doing the Ramones again.
That's right. Doing them again. Why? Why are we doing them again, Hammond?
Because Hammond made a mistake. Hammond made a big mistake.
Yeah. It's a podcaster rite of passage.
It's not just but I had edited, put together, formatted, mastered all of it after we'd even recorded. And right. It's gone. So here we are again doing Ramones.
Yep. The Ramones. It's
at
funny.
At least it's a band I liked.
That's true. Exactly. If we had to do, like, let's say we had to re-record Leonard Cohen, it'd be difficult for you, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. We're just going to substitute another band in. Yep. I can't do it again, Brian. I'm
tapping out.
But fortunately, it's recent enough that all it took was, a bunch of songs, refresher to get us back into that punk state of mind. We actually, we did this one before Crosby. Well, you'll hear it in Crosby, Stills, and Nash order, right? Pet Shop Boys, Ramones, Crosby, Stills, and Nash. But we're recording this one right after we recorded the ZZ Top episode that you can hear us tease in the Crosby, Stills, and Nash episode.
It's
so
time warping.
That's right. I guess I just gave away the next two episodes.
Hey, again, it's a tease. That's what they call it. Yeah, we're in the business of teasing.
That's right. So let's talk about the Ramones. Let's talk about how they started off. The band formed in Forest Hills, Queens in 1974. And when you think of punk rock, you think of the Mount Rushmore of punk rock or the trifecta of punk rock. For me, it's always the Clash, the Sex Pistols, and the Ramones. And each one kind of satisfied a separate need for that punk rock sound. The Sex Pistols were all about discord and screaming and hissing into the microphone and against the man, against the machine, etc. The Clash was more almost protesty in their sounds of their songs, their songwriting about what was going on in England at the time. They weren't necessarily as much about the safety pin through the cheek as the Sex Pistols were.
Also, I think of the three of them, they might have been the most accessible.
The Clash were for sure.
Yeah, and maybe the more, I don't want to say family friendly. Yeah, I was going to say family friendly because you could put them on while your mom's in the room and you wouldn't have to apologize.
Totally. You could totally use them to help get your little brother out of the Upside Down when Winona Ryder is freaking out and sticking lights to the wall. And then the third of that trifecta, the Ramones. And the Ramones, while the other two bands, specifically more the Sex Pistols than the Clash, while the other two bands were more angry, the Ramones kind of came across as apathetic. Like, yeah, we're here. We don't care. Whatever. We're going to play whether you listen to us or not. Screw yourself,
yep.
Kind of feeling to them. And that was as much punk rock as the angry sound of the Sex Pistols and the kind of protesty sound of the Clash. And there's that kind of wide range that punk rock had that kind of gets forgotten until you think about these three bands.
And to be honest with you, through the course of the Ramones, they were pretty diverse. They
were.
They did what they did. But they did what they did a lot of different ways.
Yeah, for sure. And they also were the U.S. punk rock band. You know, the other two bands that I mentioned, the Clash and the Pistols, were U.K. punk rock and had a different kind of feel because of that. The Ramones had this this homegrown garage band club kind of feel to them, which was really, really cool.
Are European bands more likely to be protesty, or is that just a fluke?
No, I don't think so. I think it's a fluke, because there was certainly was no shortage of protesty stuff going on here in the U.S. with Joni Mitchell and Crosby, Stills, and Nash, and oh my gosh, why can't I remember the guy who did Freedom at Woodstock? Richie
Marx Cunningham.
Yeah, there you go. Now, any Richie Havens. Any thought I had of arriving at Richie Havens was like slowed down, but not stopped, not halted. I'll remind you. The Ramones were certainly one of the first bands I could think of that all took fake names, specifically fake last names. We kind of joked about this during the first recording, but how many bands can you think of that have done that? Other bands can you think of that have done that? Where
I remember is Blue Man Group.
Harvey, which I don't know if they have any names.
Harvey John and Frank Blumen.
Blumen. No, Ween did that.
You mentioned the guys that did the Land of a Thousand Dances.
Are you sure I'm not? You weren't thinking of the Walk the Dinosaur guys, Dave and Don was.
But didn't you mention the guys with the eyeballs and the top hats?
Oh, the Residents.
Yeah.
I don't know if they necessarily took. Again, they had that mysterious persona where it was four guys with eyeballs and top hats that who knows what they looked like. It was kind of like Daft Punk, whereas this mysterious behind the mask kind of thing.
They're the anti-blind melon with all those eyeballs.
That's right, and the precursors to Guar.
Yes.
Who else? There was another one too that came to mind. Blotto did the same thing. Would you say that the Righteous Brothers were there? People out there that thought that the last names of the two guys in the band were kind of like, oh, it was like the Everly Brothers, the Righteous Brothers.
I bet Bill you there and, were people who thought that. Just like I
Bill
bet you there are people who thought
Joseph,
that
Joseph Righteous.
Just like I bet you there are people who thought that Jethro Tull was a lead singer.
Oh, that's true. Or Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good point. Wow. These guys, the Ramones. Hey, we're talking about the Ramones. They toured nonstop for 22 years. And in 1996, they played their farewell show, which was good because about almost 20 years later, all the members of the band, the original members of the band, had passed away. So let's talk about the members. We got Joey Ramone, the distinctive sounding vocalist.
One, two, three, four.
Right. Exactly. Talk about that apathetic sound. I mean, that is, his vocals are sneering and derisive
it's like he was told to sing, like, take out the garbage.
Right. Exactly. Fine. I'll do it.
Joey, take out Joey. You sing this verse or I'm going to ground you. Fine, Mom.
Right. Exactly. Johnny Ramone on guitar, D.D. Ramone on bass, C.J. Ramone, who played bass from 1988 on, Tommy, who played drums up until 1978 and then was drums got taken over by Marky, who played drums until 83. Richie came in, played drums from 83 until 1988. And then they got Marky back to play drums from 1988 on. Started out as a garage band in high school called Tangerine Puppets. Oh, I was so glad they took the name Ramones.
Yeah, because Tangerine Puppets would not have done as well. Because Joey Tangerine Puppet just doesn't have the same ring to it.
Sure. And I would argue that in, you know, 1970s and late 1970s, this probably was like doing the name the Ramones and making it seem like we're all part of the same family. It was probably like a dig at the Osmonds
or the Jacksons. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Sure. Like a pick at that. Their first performance was in 1974, March 30th, 1974. Their songs were fast and short. And we found that even in 1990, their music was fast and short. Their songs were all really, really short on all these albums. They played CBGBs in 1974. Legs McNeil reviewed the performance and called it a wall of noise, but something new.
Which, and now the wall of noise gets thrown around with relative ease.
It does. Yeah, that is a phrase that you hear all the time.
And I think the Ramones, it wasn't just a wall of noise. It was a wall of stuff they had not experienced before.
Right. Oh, for sure. Their sets were 20 minutes or less.
And they played 18 songs.
So you could order a Domino's pizza, go listen to the Ramones, and then get your Domino's pizza shortly after.
Yep. When their epic is 3.5 minutes long, you know they play short songs.
That's right. All right, let's go through their albums here. 1976, their debut album called simply Ramones. Longest song on this album is just over 2 minutes and 30 seconds. The entire band is writing credits on this one.
I think it's cool that they did that because that showed a unity that there wasn't going to be somebody making more money than somebody else. That was a form of equality in the band, which,
oh yeah,
I'll be honest, when we first did the episode, I didn't think about, but now that I've been thinking about it, especially with the other ones we've talked about, that having that kind of unity is probably helped kind of keep, in spite of everything that was going on with them behind the scenes, keep them together.
Keep them together and keep anyone from getting tall poppy syndrome and thinking that they're, you know, well, I don't need this. I can go do my own thing.
Yep.
This is the album that, the thing kicks off with Blitzkrieg Bop. You got Beat on the Brat with a baseball bat. Judy is a punk. I want to be your boyfriend. And now I want to sniff some glue. 53rd and 3rd. This is it's a great kickoff album. It's a great way to begin for sure.
The whole thing was recorded for under $6,500.
It's amazing. That's a Kickstarter. Could have kickstarted the Ramones' first album. And if Kickstarter was around, maybe they would have. Critics loved it, but it wasn't a big seller commercially. They had some singles. Blitzkrieg Bop was a big single. But
famously covered for Wayne's World.
Yes, right. And great version, too, by the Beautiful South, Blitzkrieg Bop. In the States, they weren't popular outside of New York. But probably because of the surge of punk bands in the UK, they toured out there. They got more attention out there. And then that carried over back into the...